Welcome. This is Insight Now. It's a weekly forecast program with astrology and a guided meditation activation to help you make the most of your week. It's run by Pamela Cuccinell, that's me, the astrologer, and Susie Mazzoli, master healer. We invite you to find out more about our individual work, Susie Mazzoli, susiemazzoli-healer.com, or insightoasis.com. For astrology, we look forward to your joining us every week. Please share with your friends. Here we go.
Welcome, everyone. April the 1st, and this is not a joke, but we have very seriously changed our name. We are now Astrology Insight Now, and that's where you can find Pamela Cuccinell and me, Susie Mazzoli, and our weekly forecast and meditation. So our new name, happy birthday to us, Astrology Insight Now. And I think we're starting with the Mercury retrograde, if I remember correctly, Pam. So this is week 14 of 2024. And we're starting the week with April the 1st. I will be back after Pam tells us all about the weekend with our meditation.
Super. April 1st must always be mentioned by me that it was my mother's birthday. So you can imagine how children spent her birthday with lots of jokes. But yes, Susie's correct. Mercury goes retrograde this day. And I did think it was a good day to reevaluate the name of the podcast and emphasize the pieces that we most provide you. So with Mercury gone retrograde on this day, I am going to mention the eclipse that happens on April 8th, even though it's next Monday, because we are leading into it. And the retrograde, I think, indicates, because the retrograde also of Mercury is in the sign of Aries, as is the new moon solar eclipse that happens on the 8th. And these things aren't accidents. There is a reason. And so with the retrograde and looking toward this eventful day that will happen next week, I think one of the things to really emphasize and reflect on this week, which is the waning moon cycle, last phase, before it goes into the new moon on next Monday, is what is it you may have to clean up in your communication? Reconsider, reevaluate. All the re's come into play when we're in retrograde activity of not only Mercury, but any planet when it goes retrograde. We look at the symbolism of the planet and we consider going into it in a deeper way than perhaps we ordinarily do. Now, with Mercury, the winged messenger that had the ability to move from the heavens to Earth down into the underworld, we are really being asked to look at how do we deliver these messages that have to do with higher mind, intelligence, ideas, inspiration, things that we want to get across to bridge into the earthly plane, manifestation, and also dig into, really understand deep channels within ourselves so that we are able to convey messages that have depth, clarity, and an absolute assertion as to what it is we want to deliver and bring forth. On the day of April 1st, the moon enters Capricorn at 12:05 a.m. So that's 5 minutes after it becomes April 1st Eastern time, because the times I give are Eastern time. So you want to adjust depending on where you are. The other thing to keep in mind with this Capricorn moon that goes through this day is that it is really going to be working effectively with the deeper channels of communication. Mercury goes retrograde. The exact time is 6:14 p.m. So one of the things to be aware of on this day is that we want to be super aware of appointments, what we promised, where we expect to be, who we expect to be there. Was everything delivered? Is it needed to be? Because one thing that happens when Mercury stations, as we call it, when it stops in the sky and then turns direction, is that it's as though things are on hold, or we better double check, because once it starts moving in the new direction, then we are kind of committed to wherever it was. So the ideal is to reevaluate, reconsider, see where we're at, so that when we're in the, in this case, backwards movement of the planet, we are going over. So we're going over already drafted contracts, things that pieces of writing that we need to edit, agreements that want to be tweaked, conversations that are a bit open-ended. How do we define better? How do we go into the underbelly and really see, is this clear? And as we move through this week, one of the things that the eclipse next week is really highlighting for us is communication. So the fact that it happens when Mercury is retrograde, it behooves us to really do the deep work of understanding our undercurrents of why we say what we say, how we say it, the manner in which we say it, how we receive information. Because oftentimes, especially in intimate dialogue or even business negotiations or things, ideas we think are being imparted, is that we are too busy being stuck in what we wanted to say or respond to without doing the other piece of it, which is listening deeply so that the other or the community or whoever is receiving the message really understands the content. And this has been triggered through this whole eclipse cycle. And this whole eclipse cycle is this first pair, the one that happened March 25th, and then the one that goes April 8th. And then the next cycle of the year, which is as we get into fall. Communications, how we relate, hearing the other side, reciprocity in full communication. Monday the 1st is actually a highly productive day in spite of the Mercury retrograde, if we've been doing our homework and executing information in line with that retrograde. The moon goes void, of course, on Wednesday the 3rd. So let's look at Tuesday a little bit and see what might be different with this hardworking moon in Capricorn. One of the things that's really emphasized is that we want to have partnerships where the people who are involved are each pulling their weight, whatever their assigned job or activity is. And once again, you can see how this dovetails nicely with the idea of how we communicate, what we expect other people to do. Is there clarity in it? No assumptions. And especially people who work in anything technological, you really want to make sure that you have done your due diligence, double checking, and even if this is something you can do with your eye closed, save, save, save. And that's on a peripheral device, not just on your own hard drive. Tuesday, the thing to point out is that this is, and it depends where you are on the planet. I mean, it's really going to be very nice as we get into early the next day, which for Eastern time people, a lot of those people are going to be sleeping. So I consider this a very good evening for working with the dreamscape if you're in an area where that would be what you're doing. One of the things that I would focus on as I'm getting into deep dreaming is, what's a problem I want to solve that has to do with communication? Or how can I tap into or be in greater touch with the things that allow me to heal, reach out, connect, and be able to thrive in the intuitive realm? Many, that's a real emphasis when Mercury is retrograde. Many people do very well with heightening or really working their muscle that has to do with intuitive messages. And if that's a realm you spend a lot of time with, you'll find during the retrograde of Mercury that it's really just sort of booking along. If that's not your comfort zone, you can use Mercury retrograde to delve deeper and really start to understand how that all works. So Monday and Tuesday are actually very productive days in spite of the Mercury retrograde when you take into account the Mercury retrograde. Wednesday the 3rd, the moon goes void of course as of 1:40 a.m., and when the moon is void of course, it means that it's not making direct connections with any other planet geometrically. And so we generally say, don't start anything new, not a good time to reach out to try to make that new contact, prospect. Much better to work with things already in motion. The moon enters Aquarius at 5:08 a.m., at which point in time we're in this very nice zone of working even more concentratedly on executing clarity and communications. Once again, taking in mind that Mercury is retrograde. So even if you feel like you're hitting a wall or certain things are difficult to break through, what actually is happening is we have the opportunity to learn where the snares are. What isn't working right? What are we assuming? What has not been communicated in the way we thought it was, it should be? That's the value when Mercury's retrograde. We can really uncover the problems in or the challenges in communication before they become really bad. And the only way we do that is by taking responsibility for it and working with it. So the other thing to notice on Wednesday is that it's a tremendous day for research, especially in the morning, the early hours. And there's a picture in the sky between Venus and Neptune, which can be like rose-colored glasses, you know, falling in love with love. Very, very sweet. And so that can be great for creativity, as long as we keep in mind the Mercury retrograde and we're paying attention to what's really been said or asking the right questions to dig to what really wants to be said. But again, this can be a highly productive day, as can Thursday the 4th. We are in the waning moon cycle, so we want to finish things up. We want to work on projects already in motion. We are far more effective when we're basically not reinventing something. We can go over it very carefully And that is a real advantage at this point in time. But it's not necessarily when you want to launch a new project, unless it's something that benefits from Mercury retrograde. And that's usually things that have to do with businesses that are involved with reuse and repurposing. Those are classic Mercury retrograde types of things. Thursday the 4th, also a very good day. It's particularly juicy as of 4:24 p.m. specifically, Eastern time. Once we're in that little envelope until the end of the day, things get really great for inspiration, innovation, networking, sharing ideas. Because of the retrograde, they may be things like, oh, we talked about this 4 months ago and it never got off the ground. Let's revisit it. You want to put a date on the calendar to really dig into it when Mercury's direct, because otherwise this will just keep being something that presents itself again, and you have trouble getting traction with it. Some things can come back with Mercury retrograde that if they weren't begun the last time Mercury was retrograde, but they're returning, that means, okay, let's look at this again. How do we tweak it, look at it, spin it differently, see what the merit might be, and put a date on the calendar for when Mercury goes direct. That's a really useful way to do this. On Friday the 5th, the moon goes void, of course, at 1:40 a.m. Eastern time and enters Pisces at 7:13 a.m. Now, the thing about this week is that all the end games of how the moon travels are positive. So that means the moon moves through its sign. It may touch on some challenges or humps, but by the time it's done, it has made a picture where it's sextiling or trining, which means that the outcome is generally positive or good. We have to keep in mind the Mercury retrograde, because you can feel really good about something, but it's never going to get off the ground if it doesn't have the correct communication and integrity that matches whatever the concept is. Really, really important to do. So that's why you make schedules, you make commitments, you avoid signing anything contractual if possible until Mercury's direct. That's not always possible. And these things can be modified based on your personal horoscope. We aim to find the best days when Mercury's retrograde. And as I said, this week has a lot of good days. When the moon is in Pisces on Friday, Saturday, and, well, just very early hours on Sunday. But when it's in Pisces, what's happening is that we are in this lovely, like, dream imagining state, which is really, really super for creative types, for music, for exploring deeper spirituality, uncovering layers of yourself, self-exploration. Very, very helpful and therapeutic. It certainly can be. And so Friday looks like a great day to me, as does Saturday. These things are modified based on what's going on. Like Friday the 5th, if you have a heavy crunch work day and it's a high demand job with no space for creative thought or innovation, it's not going to feel as comfortable to you as for someone who has a job where they're able to act a lot more on their intuition, emotional realm, and creativity. Nonetheless, these still can be very productive days, but what you want to always keep in mind is paying attention to if you do have a nagging feeling, well, I don't know, maybe this isn't a good time to contact him about this, then think about what's the most effective way to communicate without necessarily interrupting or derailing. Or so trusting your intuition, still following through with what's expected of you, making sure the messages are delivered in ways that can be received and understood, but also honoring if you're feeling, not quite sure if that's the best way to proceed. And it's totally valid to ask questions. So even if you're in an environment that doesn't always feel comfortable to second guess, even confront or ask questions, you might want to find a way to do that, because it's our ability to see things that are not necessarily apparent can be very high, especially for water and earth signs. Saturday, the energy as of mid-afternoon to basically relax, recharge, really get into the good juice of refreshing yourself is very high. So I hope all of us can have a restful, enjoyable Saturday where we're absorbing music or something lovely to reinvigorate ourselves. Sunday the 5th, the moon goes void, of course, at 4:27 a.m. And then it enters Aries at 7:25 a.m. And this will lead into the eclipse that happens on Monday. So the prep work on this day, which can be a highly productive day, again, is do things that allow you to feel vibrant, excited, expectant, and lay the groundwork for what you want to make accomplish or make happen as of when the solar eclipse passes on Monday, because that new moon solar eclipse cycle is incredibly auspicious for high creativity, inspired moments, and brilliant communication, with the caveat that Mercury's retrograde. So it's very important for us to know what we want to say and really understand how what we want to say will be heard. And now I turn it over to Susie.
Woohoo! Wow, big time. Yeah. So from my spiritual understanding, from the Buddhist point of view, an eclipse has such a very, very different perspective. And it's a time when we are really encouraged in a very, very powerful way to be in prayer, to be in prayer for the benefit of all beings. And there are some Buddhist teachings that say that what you are doing, so your actions, so in Buddhism, thoughts and actions and words, they are multiplied by 10,000 during the solar eclipse. So if you're doing good during that time, then it's going to be multiplied by 10,000, which I highly recommend. And if you're not doing so good, if you're complaining or gossiping or hurting someone or hurting yourself, then that's multiplied by 10,000. So it's a very, very strong opportunity to do good in the world. And Pam, I'm not sure if you said the time of it, but it lasts for about 2 hours and 25 minutes. Is that right? The actual eclipse time?
Well, the length of the eclipse, that I'm not going to answer off the top of my head. However, because I think it, how much you see or how long it lasts depends on where you are physically.
Yes, yes, yes.
So the time, Eastern time of the eclipse is 2:22 p.m.
Okay.
And that's Eastern time. So that's when it's exact. Exact.
Okay.
But the actual viewing of it, that will depend on where you physically are. How much is covered, how much is revealed. And if you're going to look at it, of course, you want to have your glasses. And I know that it's become pretty much a huge phenomena for people to go look at them and talk about them and travel all over the place for them in the internet. But I do agree with Susie that if we're using it symbolically, we're basically working on what seed energy are we going to put out there. So you talk about prayer and doing good. Well, is that our listeners are all planning something, whatever that activity or new moon goal is, that it's about realization of being able to be more active, present, and vital in the world, which can only be good.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's jump into our special meditation for the week. And I invite you all just to find a place of stillness, a place of quiet, and tune into your body, which is a powerful, energetic source. And from your body, just visualize concentric rays, circles, energy fields going out from you, like balls getting bigger and bigger and bigger, so that you see yourself within our world, within our planet. And then keep growing that energy field so it includes the moon, which is quite close to us. And then keep going out, creating larger and larger energy fields, seeing yourself at the center. And then go out and include the sun and all of the celestial bodies between us and the sun. And feel the powerful forces of our galactic bodies that we are connected to the sun. We are alive only because of the sun. And we are also connected to the moon. And we are also only alive because of the moon. The sun and the moon both have very powerful, definitive, energetic properties that absolutely affect life on this planet, affect your life. And this body that we inhabit, this body that we are, this mind that we are, this mind stream that we are, is completely affected by this huge macrocosmic energy of these celestial bodies. We might even see them as consciousness. However we perceive them, however we feel them, we know that they are very powerful energy fields that allow us to be in this form, that provide the energies for our life. And we can look at ancient tantric understandings, philosophies, science, going back thousands of years on our planet, that talk about the solar and lunar bodies and how they govern the energy in our physical bodies, the subtle energies, the energy channels, the light in our body, the left and right energy channels. So as we connect specifically now to the sun and the moon, appreciating all of the different subtle energies, these elemental energies that support our life. And we feel the connection. We are aware of our deep connection to these bodies. And as you feel the sun, and as you feel the moon, feel those energies penetrating through your skin, through your layers of flesh, of muscle, of fat. Feel them both deep into your bones, deep into the energy field of your body, the electromagnetic field of your body. And whether it is night or day, whether it is full moon or new moon, we are constantly in the spectrum of these energies. And as you tune in to the sun and the moon energies now, penetrating through your body, imagine in your mind's eye that they are recalibrating your system. Imagine that they are lining up the electromagnetic field so that you are in balance with the heavens, that you are in balance with the earth, that you are calibrated for the highest precision now. And feel those energies as they go deeper into your mind, into your thoughts, into your heart, into your feelings. These ancient energies of the sun and the moon, great celestial bodies, great fields of consciousness, as they recalibrate your mind, your heart, and bring you into alignment with our universe. With our nature. With the energy field. That elemental energy. And hold this in your mind. Hold this energy in your body. Be a repository for these energies, so that when the eclipse is happening, you are still connected. You are connected above and beyond the molecular field, but you are holding this energy always in your being. And hold this energy for all beings everywhere, for the highest good. Hold on to that energy for all beings on Earth to stay connected, to remain in this place of continuous connection. And allowing yourself now to take a few breaths and gently open your eyes. Thank you so much for being with us. And we look forward to being with you next week. Love now.
You have been listening to Susie Mazzoli and Pamela Cuccinell of Insight Now. If you've enjoyed this program, consider a donation. You can find how to subscribe or a link for that at astrologyinsightnow.com. We invite you to join us again for next week's podcast. Please share with others who can benefit from insight, and have a stellar week.